Let's look at the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew today. We continue to preach on Christ's life. Matthew chapter 8, a great text. You'll probably say he says that about all the texts. But this is one that has always been on my heart to preach, and it came up. And Jake preached most of it when he was praying, but there's some left. There's some left. And that's a good thing. In Matthew 8, and look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. We're going to read through verse 27, Matthew 8, 18 through 27. Amen.
Amen.
And now when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his hand. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came and came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. That's interesting. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Obey him. Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the scriptures, the God-breathed, God-inspired scriptures that's able to transform a life, that's able to save a soul, that's able to create in us a clean heart. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for these people of God that have gathered in this place. We pray that they be blessed by the preach word of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to talk about getting to the other side. And some folks believe that it's a joyride and it's all downhill and it's smooth sailing. But even for these disciples, it was difficult. It was difficult for those who were in the will of God. Completely and totally in God's will, and they still ran into some storms. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and all who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer. God's people are suffering people, but at the same time, God's people get to the other side. God's people get to the other side. Here's the story here. In verse 18, I'm going to go down the list. I want to really concentrate on the last part of it where he steals the sea. But it says in verse 18, it said, Now Jesus saw a great multitude about him. Now, think about that. Think about today's preacher. You think about today's evangelist or today's preacher. He not leaving. And with a great multitude about him, he going to set up shop. He gonna set up shop. He not moving. But here's Jesus knowing that these great multitudes were fickle and fake and uncommitted and really geared toward prosperity. Pastor, where are you getting all that at? I'm gonna show you. He said he gave a commandment to depart unto the other side. He said, man, get away from all this. That don't sound right. Because we looking for the great crowds. Some of us upset today. Go, look around. Oh, what's happening to the church? Well, I don't know what's happening to the church. I don't know what's happening to the church. God knows.
Amen.
And maybe he's taking it all the way down to the screws.
Amen.
He's taking it all the way down to the screws and build it back up.
Amen.
Okay, I always give you the illustration. I went to the dentist the other day, just on Wednesday, went to the dentist. He said, you might have cavity coming in, but he didn't do anything. I was so glad. I was so glad he didn't make another appointment for me to have another cavity filled, because I know what happens when you fill a cavity. And I know what happened with this guy. He wants to make sure it's cleaned all the way out before he fills it. Okay? And see, sometimes God has to do that to his church.
Amen.
Sometimes he has to purify his church, and sometimes he uses storms to do it.
Amen.
We don't like it. You know, some of you have children like I do, and you tell them to clean up, and that's a bad thing. Okay? You need to clean the showers and clean the bathroom and the toilets, and you know they're not going to do it like you do it. Because it's not. So, Pastor, where do you get the fickle faith, the uncommitted, the prosperity seekers? He gave a commandment to depart to the other side. Let's get away from this. And his servant scribe came. Here's one. His servant scribe came, and he said unto him, Master, I want to go with you. He didn't say it like that. He said, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. Now he's talking to Jesus. He's talking to Jesus, who knows everything, omniscient. He knows this man's heart. He knows this man's heart. He knows this man's desire. He knows this man's commitment. And he says to this man, I don't think he went. And he says the same thing to us, who will call ourselves disciples, who will call ourselves learners, who will call ourselves students of the word, who will call ourselves Christians. He says the same thing. Foxes have holes. Okay? At the end of the day, a fox has somewhere to go for comfort, for protection, to get away from everything. Say, foxes have holes. And the birds of the air have nests. You go outside in the nighttime. Don't see a whole lot of birds. Okay? I don't think you see any. I don't see any birds at night. Okay? Why? Because the birds of the air have nests. And the foxes, you really shouldn't see them in the daytime. Because they have holes that they hide in. But the Son of Man, and I believe when he says the Son of Man, I believe he said the Son of Man and all who would follow him have not where to lay his head. It's gonna be raw. It's gonna be difficult. It's a difficult walk. And many of us know that. Many of us in here know that. Many of us in here say, well, it's too difficult for me. Okay, I didn't sign up for a difficult Jesus. I want a easy Jesus. Okay? But he says, the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. So if you're gonna follow me, it's gonna be difficult. Watch this now. The next one. And another of his disciples said unto him. He didn't call the scribe a disciple. He called this one a disciple. This one might have got in. But Jesus explained to him clearly the cost. And I've been teaching on Wednesday, and we have great dialogues on Wednesday. And what's been coming up a lot on Wednesday nights is that when we were back in the day, it wasn't really explained to us what it really meant to follow Christ. A lot of us believe that follow Christ means I go to church. I go to church. That means I follow Christ because I go to church. And then 6 days of the week, I do whatever I want to do. Okay? But I'm on my way to heaven because I go to church. And going to church means I'm a Christian. Well, here's what Jesus is saying. This man came to Jesus and says, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Well, I don't believe he would have had to worry about burying his father. His father didn't have any money. So most likely his father had money. an inheritance. His father wasn't dead yet, but he wanted to stick around his father until his father died. He got his money, and then he was going to follow Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, because it sounded like his father was unsaved, didn't care about the things of God, he would have been there too. Okay? But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. He was plain to him what the cost was. And I believe by the language of it, because everyone that Jesus told to follow him, follow. When he told Matthew, and Matthew was sitting in his tax booth, he said, Matthew, come follow me. Matthew's Bible says, arose, left everything, and did what? Followed the Lord. Followed the Lord. Followed the Lord. So there's a cost. Now I'm going to talk about disciples. Get into the other side. Verse 23. Stay with me. And when he was entered the ship, And some folks say it was a little boat. I believe it was a ship. I believe it was bigger than a little boat, but it was a ship. I went to Ocean City one year. We was on a, well, it was on a ship. Now when Margaret and Regan and talk about the cruise ships, it wasn't a cruise ship that I was on. It was a fishing ship. Okay? And you had to have room to bring the fish in. You had to have room to store the fish. So I believe it was bigger than a little boat that you would see behind a truck. But he says, when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. What's a disciple? A follower. A follower. A learner. A student of his. Student of the word. You have to ask yourself, is a Christian a disciple? See? I believe you can't be a Christian without being a disciple.
Amen.
Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that Christians were first called Christians at Antioch because they had sat under the teaching of Barnabas and Paul. They were learners. So you hear it and you say, well, I'm a Christian, then I believe you are a learner, you're a follower, you're a student, then you would know that because within you would be a God-given desire to learn about Jesus. It would be in you. It would be in you. It would supersede a lot of things.
Amen.
I mean, it would just, listen, you know, the home arena, whatever, and it would just, listen, right now, I'm getting ready to do my devotion, I'm getting ready to study, or I'm listening to a sermon on sermon audio, or whatever. This is a part of your life. When I'm doing my morning prayer or I'm doing my evening prayer, can I get back with you? Because this is important to me.
Amen.
That to me is a disciple. That to me is a learner. That to me is a Christian.
Amen.
A Christian who doesn't take the time out to pray and to study and to learn. And when he entered into the ship, his disciples followed. Jesus had great, great love for his disciples. He had a greater love for his disciples than he did family. Ouch. And I know that's painful for some of us. And that's troubling for some of us. Some of us, listen, family first. We put family over everything. We like I said earlier, we're going to hell with our unsaved family. We family, a lot of folks ain't here today to talk family.
Uh-huh.
Right or wrong. I'm down with blood thicker than mud.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Okay? That don't sell with Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? I'm just giving them, that don't sell with Jesus. Give me a scripture. I'm going to give you a scripture. Matthew 12. Here's Jesus. He's preaching. He's teaching. He's at church and he's with his disciples and he's talking to them and he's showing them love. And he's explaining the scriptures to them, to people who want to hear it. And it says in verse 46, and while he yet talked to the people, behold, let's just now that word behold. This is behold, his mother, his real mother. Because I believe Luke says it was his Mary, his mother. It says his mother and his brethren stood without, I mean, they stood outside. They didn't want to come in because what Jesus was preaching was going to cause him some problems. If you follow a person who's preaching something to you that you're going to take in and do, it's going to cause you some problems too.
Amen.
So it wasn't that they couldn't get in. The text is not saying that they couldn't get in. The text is basically saying they didn't want to be seen with him. They didn't want to be identified with his teachings. Because his teachings was going to get him to the cross. Okay? So they were desiring to speak to him. They were trying to get him to stop. They said, stop teaching that. Stop teaching that. Stop teaching that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but through me. Stop teaching that, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, and who don't believe in him going to hell. Stop teaching that.
Amen.
That's going to cause him some problems. That's going to cause us some problems, because they know we're your peoples. So they wanted to speak to him. And then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brother stand without, desiring to speak with you. But he answered and said unto them, and the answer said unto him that told him, who is my mother? Huh? Who is my mother? He's saying this to the guy who's come to the room and said, look, your mom outside.
Uh-huh.
And she want to talk to you, and she wants you outside now. And Jesus says to the man who said that in front of the whole crowd, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples. And when he said stretch forth his hand, I believe it's in the hand like a cross. My brothers and my sisters are ones that know that I'm going to the cross and are willing to die with me. Okay? He stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, his followers, his learners, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. What's he saying? The people that follow me, the people that love me, the people that are willing to carry their cross for me, those are my mother and brother.
Amen.
How do I know that? Look at verse 50. Watch this now. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.
Amen.
What is the will of God? What is the will of God? That we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and follow his commandments and his teachings.
Amen.
And it's going to cost us something. Those are his believers. But Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews puts it like this. Wherefore seeing, Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses, let us, those who believe, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us what? Run with patience the race that is set before us. Watch this happen. How do we do it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Disciples, look to Jesus. Disciples, trust in Jesus. Disciples learn about Jesus. Disciples are willing to pay the price.
Amen.
Disciples. Now you ask yourself, what am I? Am I a disciple? Am I a follower? Am I a learner? Listen. Another story of Mary. Y'all know the story of Mary. Jesus was invited to Martha's house for dinner. Martha was running around, doing her thing, running that kitchen, making that potato salad, making everything perfect. Okay. And she got mad because she see Mary. Her sister, Luke 10:39, it says, and she had a sister named Mary, called Mary. I like that better. A sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Heard his word. You know what she was doing? She was learning. She was a disciple, and she laid everything down. You know, mom, lay down everything. She laid everything down when Jesus came into the room, and she sat at his feet. And what did she do? She heard his word. The word heard me. She heard it. She had questions that Jesus answered, and she got some understanding, and she needed it. But here's Martha. Now, Jesus responds, and Martha was cumbered about by much serving. That's like us. There's a lot of folks in your church today because they were so busy. So tired. They didn't work so hard. They didn't done everything. Okay? And they didn't ran out of gas on Sunday morning. And here it says that Martha was coming by much serving and came to him and said, Lord, does not thou care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Tell her to get off and get in here to help me. I got work to do. And Jesus answered, said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let me tell you something. Be careful that you don't outserve God. Be careful that you don't work so much in the little minutia things, the things that really don't matter, that you don't spend time at Jesus' feet learning Him. See, the Bible says this, and I say this. It's appointed unto man once they die, and after that, the judgment. Okay? The judgment means there's going to be some questions you're going to have to answer. There's going to be some things you're going to have to explain. And you can't explain things to God man's way. God's going to require you to explain to Him your relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
My mic went out. How about that? That's all right. My mic went out. Again, I should have known. I looked at the batteries this morning. But, not that I need it.
Amen.
Listen, true discipleship denies this world. True discipleship denies this world.
Amen.
I sit here and I listen. I listen to you guys sing. I listen to you guys pray. Matthew 16:24 says this. And then said Jesus unto his disciples. He's talking to his disciples. That's us.
Amen.
That's us. He's talking to his disciples. He said, if any man will come after me. How about that? If any man will come after me. If any man will follow me. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How about that? Let him deny himself. Let him be prepared. Let him be prepared to say no to this flesh.
Amen.
Let him be prepared to say no to some stuff. Some folks have a hard time saying no to anything but God. Yeah, the world asks us to do anything. Brothers, sisters, family, the job. I see folks, they'll do anything for unsaved folks. But when God asks him to do something, I got a problem. I got something to do. I'm busy. Listen, let me tell you something. God requires you to serve him. That's part of it. I like what Luke says and Matthew. And Matthew says, he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke puts it like this in 9:23. He says, and he said unto him, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. 24/7. And you know what? When I say this, and I think I said it before, bear with me. But when Jesus mentioned the cross, When he mentioned the cross to disciples, especially Jewish disciples, because you got to understand, the Romans invented the death on the cross. The Gentiles didn't die on the cross. Romans didn't die on the cross. Only Jews were crucified. So when Jesus said, mentioned cross to a Jew, it meant something. They know what it meant. Oh, they know what it meant. It meant pain. It meant death. It meant death. And when Jesus said, take up your cross daily, we get the verse. Paul said, I die what? Daily. I die late daily. The cross is the pain of self-denial.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. And people sit here and say, well, Pastor, that's your job. No. I don't have a problem with it. Because I know what I signed up for.
Yeah.
I understand what I signed up for. You know, you're going to teach on Wednesday night, teach Sunday school, preach on Sunday morning, preach on Sunday evening, and throughout the week, you gotta walk the walk, brother.
Amen.
You gotta walk the walk.
Amen.
And many of you believe that's just for me. But Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, if you're going to follow me, you must deny yourself.
Amen.
Can't do everything you want. Can't go everywhere you want to go.
Amen.
You know, you got to find some time to spend with Jesus.
Amen.
And when you start explaining that to your friends and to your families and your brothers, to your sisters and to your aunts and your cousins, then they're going to call you a fool. And you got to be really ready for the ridicule. Well, you just too holy. You just into that church and you do is study that Bible. You know, let it go. Let it go. And you're going to hear it.
Uh-huh.
And guess what we don't like to hear? We want to make everybody happy.
Uh-huh.
We want to make everybody happy. We want to be Mr. and Mrs. Congeniality. And we want everybody to love us. Well, you know what? Boxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But disciples gonna take it.
Amen.
Disciples not only must they deny themselves, but they must be doers of the word. I like that one.
Amen.
They must be doers of the word. Disciples. When I start off the text, I couldn't get past disciples. Because I don't know if anybody knows what it means really to be a disciple. It's just for you, Pastor. You're the only disciple. You know, there's a day coming. Matthew 7. God's going to test us all. He has to. Or he wouldn't be God. And he's got to get us ready for the storm. He's got to get us ready for the storm. He's got to get us ready for the storm. So in Matthew 7:21, he says, not everyone that saith to me, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Where are you going with this, Pastor? But he said, he that, or she, that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? What's missing? What's missing is that they did all that. They didn't count on the Lord. They didn't have, you don't hear about a relationship with the Lord. Watch this now. And I will profess unto you that I never knew you. They didn't have a relationship with me. You did a lot of stuff without a relationship with the Lord. And I've always told you the story of the Chinese missionary that came to America. And when he was getting on the plane going back to China, they asked the missionary, said, what impressed you so much about the church in America? And he says, you know what? How much they could do without the Lord. How much they could do without the Lord. But you know, as we go down that same text in Matthew, Jesus is saying, he's going to tell a story. He says, you got to be ready for the storms. And I think when we think about storms now, you got what's going on in Florida, what's going on in Houston. You know, those people were prepared. They knew the storms was coming. They was as prepared as they could be. They was prepared as they could be. Think about that now. Think about that and spiritualize it. We know that a storm is coming in our lives. And that storm may be called death. We know it's coming. The weatherman is saying it is twirling around. Some of us feel it. It's blowing hard on us. How prepared are we for that storm? I watch folks 75, 80 living like there's not a storm coming. The storm is coming.
Amen.
The storm is coming. The winds are blowing. Listen, listen. Many of us struggle. I talked to Claire this morning. My knees are bothering me. I'm pain is hard. What I used to do in 30 minutes, take me an hour. You know what she's saying? And she know it. She don't mind me calling her out. She knows it because the storm is coming.
Amen.
She know that day is coming. There are things I can't even think about doing that I used to do.
All right.
I'm not, because I know. How do we prepare for the storm? Here's how we do. You got to know your word. You got to get into that word and ask God to prepare me because I know the storm is coming. Look what it said in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, watch this now, and do them. Do with them. Present tense. That means doing them in the past, doing them now, and I'm going to do them as long as I can. And do with them. Perfect tense. Thank you. Get my English right. And I will liken him unto a wise man. I like that. See, folks that hear these things of mine and do them. See, some people hear him and don't do them. Jesus ain't calling him a wise person. He said, the person who hears them and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. When a lot of houses built on rocks in Florida. A lot of them just floated away. A lot of them just blown away and floated away. And in verse 25 it says, and the rain descended. Oh, it's coming. Rain is coming, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell not, and it fell not. There's some folks down in Florida that are just devastated, spiritually, physically, financially. They don't have nothing. Some of them didn't have no insurance, nothing. That's a picture of the unsaved folks at death. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. There's some folks down there that knew the Lord. And they lost a whole lot of stuff. But guess what? They still standing.
Amen.
They still standing. They still standing. And this is the point of the verse here. He said, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and do them not. She'll be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon sand. How about that? Have a faith built on sand. Nothing, you don't process nothing through the Word of God. Okay? You'll talk to your cousin, and you'll talk to your buddy, and you won't go to God for nothing. That's a sand. That's a house built on sand. You get online and you'll Google whatever it, but you won't go to get on your knees and ask God, listen, God, listen, you got to work me through this. This is a God-sized problem I have here, and I need you to work me through this because my buddies, my cousins can't help me with this.
Amen.
Listen, Matthew, I'm back in Matthew. Watch this now. They on the boat. Disciples then got on the boat with Jesus. And he told them, we went to the other side. Now, don't forget that. That's you, because he said, we went to the other side. He did not tell his disciples, we're going to get in the boat, and we're going to get halfway across the Sea of Galilee, and we're going to hit a tempest and a storm, and we're going to perish. He did not tell them that. Okay? He did not tell them that. He said, get in the boat, and we're going to the other side. That's what he said. God said it. That settles it. Now, storm's coming to all of us. Some of us in a storm right now.
Amen.
Some of us is in a storm right now. Some of us, I always say, you're in trouble, head for trouble, just getting out. Some of us dealing with some stuff. Verse 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Now, a lot of commentaries, a lot of folks I listen to teach on this stuff, they say, well, the storm came from the Lord. I struggle with that, because I heard a lot of them teach that the storm came from the enemy. And I'm going to teach it from the perspective that it came from hell itself. Okay? And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. I mean, waves was just the mist and as fast as they can get the water out, the water was coming in. They was in a bad situation. But look what it says. But he was asleep. He was asleep. In the boat, and the disciples, they struggle with their faith. They struggle with the fact that he told them, begin to the other side. Storms are part of the Word of God. If you look through the Word of God, there's some great storms through the Word of God. You know, sometimes storms ain't bad. Sometimes storms ain't bad. Some of us are here now today because of the storm. Some of us are in the will of God. Some of us have been saved because a storm came into our world.
Amen.
Really? When we look at storms ain't bad. Some of you look, well, you know, in Genesis 19:24 said, the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah with brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. God used a storm to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but God used that storm to teach a great lesson. A great lesson. God used a storm in Job chapter 1 and wiped out all Job's family. Job came out better for it. We talked about it last couple weeks ago, the great storm, the great flood. Noah built the ark. God used the storm to purify the world. Storms to purify us. This storm is going to purify these disciples. I look at it and I think about what they were going through in verse 24. And then it says in verse 25, and the disciples came to him. Now, let me tell you something now. You can say what they want to say about their faith. And Jesus can say it. We can't say it because they did the right thing in the midst of a storm. Think about your storm you're in now. Think about what you're dealing with now. Think about what's going on in your mind right now. Every time I say storm, I think about where I'm at. What am I going through? What's this thing, this test I'm going through? Let me tell you something. Take it to the Lord.
Amen.
Shake them. Wake them up. Holler at them. Lord, wake up. Save me. When Peter was walking on water, great prayer. Two words. See, some of y'all want to pray like Jeremy. Peter walking on water. He walked on water. And then when he took his eyes off the Lord, he started to sink. And what did he say? Lord, save me. How about that? These disciples came unto him and awoke him.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Jesus wasn't asleep. Okay? They awoke him. They shook him. He didn't know what was going on. See, that's what happens when your faith fails. When your faith fails. When you take your eye off who Jesus really is. And now he's going to have a soul of who he really is. But they took their eyes off of him. And that's normal. They're human beings. They flesh. And sometimes we take our eyes off the Lord. Some of us have had our eyes off the Lord for weeks and weeks and weeks. Some of us, it don't take long. We take our eyes off the Lord. We take matters in our own hands. And all of us are guilty. These disciples have took their eyes off the Lord. And they forgot who he was. They forgot who he was. And who he claimed to be. They forgot that he had already told them, listen, I'm dying at sea is not going to save you. I need to die on the cross. Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And then on the third day, rise again. They knew that.
Amen.
He didn't say I'm going to die at sea.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Watch what he says. And his disciples came to him. and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Save us, we perish. The word perish means we die. We gonna die. This is gonna be horrible. What's gonna happen to us on sea? We're gonna be shipwrecked. And we're gonna sink to the bottom of the ocean. Never to be found. I don't think they have technology like they have today. That's not how Jesus was gonna die. Look at verse 26. Stay with me as I go, verse by verse. And he said unto them, how about that? Don't sound like no panicking in Jesus' voice. He's not panicking. There's no sense of urgency. He's not sitting here like, give me a bucket, let me help get the water out of the boat. No. He's in control. Why? Because he's God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh.
Amen.
Okay? And he said unto them, verse 26, why are you fearful? Don't you know who in the boat, you in the boat with?
Amen.
Think about this now. Think about this when we in our storms and we get fearful because we in this flesh. But think we have a God that lives with us as spirit-filled people.
Amen.
We have the Spirit of God living in us. And yeah, we're going to panic. Yeah, we're going to have some fearful times. But remember what Jesus says to these disciples. Why are you fearful? Why is your faith failing? Why are you fearful? And we get fearful of a lot of things. Seriously. How do I know? Because I'm just like you guys. Stuff troubles me and bothers me and I get fearful. And I'm wondering, God, what's going on? And he says to them and he says to me and he says to you, O ye of little faith. Now, the tragic part would be if he said, oh, you of no faith. See, we know a little faith can take us a long way. Because the Word of God says we have faith the size of a mustard seed. We can move mountains. So he didn't say, oh, ye of no faith. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Because the little faith they had led them where? To Jesus.
Uh-huh.
The little faith they had gave them enough strength to call on Jesus.
Amen.
See, you don't need a whole lot of faith. All you need is a little faith to call on Jesus in the time, in your time of need, in your time of trouble. A little faith. Watch this now. See, the storm arose. There was a great fight last night. Great fight last night. Two of the greatest boxers that's fighting today were fought last night. It was a split. It was a split draw, they called it. I never heard anything like it before. But it was a split draw. But let me tell you something. There ain't no split draws with Jesus.
Amen.
All right? When Satan rose, when the storm rose, and it started blowing, I mean, the wind was blowing, and the waves and the boat was being filled. Satan was just throwing his stuff. But when Jesus arose, what was this? And it says, and he arose. Jesus arose. See, like, I'm pitching this as getting up as a man of war. See, we got this song, Jesus. Some of y'all got this thought, Jesus, in your mind. And Jesus arose and all that. In your mind, and Jesus would have, oh, what's going on? It's a storm out here. Oh, my, we're going to suffer and die. That ain't the Bible, Jesus.
Amen.
He was a man of war. And when Jesus arose, that's what it says. He arose. The Bible said, anytime Jesus arose, he arose with what?
Power.
The Bible said, he arose with power. Okay? See, there's a story about Peter's mother. Peter's mother was sick with the flu. And the Bible says, and they came to the synagogue, and they came to get Jesus. And then Jesus arose and went to Peter's house and did what? Rebuked the fever, and the fever left her. When Jesus arose, he rose with power. And Satan has power too. Watch this now. And he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a calm. Come on, find help with me. There was a great calm. And the picture is, if you ever been on lake, there wasn't a ripple in the lake. There wasn't a ripple in the lake. I mean, there wasn't a ripple in the lake. I mean, he knocked this thing clean out. He rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. There was a great calm. Let me say this as I get ready to close. You know what? We need to do some rebuking. See, we have some stuff that's causing us some problems. We got some stuff that's causing some the winds to blow in our homes, in our marriages, in our lives, and we need to rebuke some stuff.
Amen.
We have a problem rebuking stuff. Let me tell you something. In order for you to get saved, if you're saved, you have to do some rebuking. let me tell you the story. I was teaching the kids out at the prison. It says this about the man on the two thieves on the cross. Okay. Y'all know the story. Luke 23. The two thieves on the cross. And they now both of them was ridiculing Jesus and ripping Jesus up. And the one, it says he sort of came to his senses. Understood the condemnation he was under. And he said, we deserve what we're getting. We deserve what we're getting. Uh-huh. Now, one thing he had to do, and then you have to do it. I had to do it. All of us had to do it. And it's not easy. He had to, look what he says. He had to turn to his former life. Or to his life. He had issues in his life, things in his life. He had to turn to that thing and rebuke it. When it says he answered his friend and rebuked him, he rebuked his friend, saying, "Does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" You know what he had to do? Get out of that crowd. He had to get away from that mess. And sometimes we have to rebuke our mess. Can't be Christian and bring your mess along with you. Okay? He had to do that. He had to do that. Listen. Last verse. Tell you what better man he was. He did some rebuking. He rebuked the wind. He rebuked the wind. Rebuked the rain. Rebuked the sea. Calm. Peaceful. Not a wave. Not a trickle. And them disciples in that boat with him is like. But the men marvel. Marvel means what they saw was something miraculous. What they saw was something that no man could do. Now you got to understand, these were fishermen. Uh-huh. These were trained fishermen. These would have been like folks who go up to Lake Erie on an excursion. They know the lake. They know where the walleye are. They know where the perch are. They know where the bass are. They know where the bluegills are. They know where all the fish are. You tell them what kind of fish you're looking to catch. And these guys, because they know the lake, they're going to take you to that fish. Well, we want to catch bass tonight. All right? Boom. Bass it is. Now, these were trained fishermen. They understood the waters. They understood the sea. And they understood that no man could control it.
Amen.
Watch what happens. And they marvel, verse 27, saying, "What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" We learn that in Jonah. We learn everybody obeyed, all the elements obeyed God but Jonah. Let me share this verse with you. Somebody say, "I'm stuck on Jonah. I can't wait to see Jonah." In Matthew 27, let me go there. I have to. I'm going to finish with this. Ariana laughing over there. She know what I say. Finish. Yeah, he did. He say, start laughing. He ain't finished. Matthew 27. Listen. Watch what it says in verse right around 54. 50. Stay with me at 50. sort of like Wednesday night. And it says, and Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the rock and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Sort of the same, this is the same picture. This is the same power that God uses to calm the sea. He's using right now. Okay? Same God. And it says in verse 53, and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Here's my verse 54. Y'all know I've been here before. And when the centurion, a leader of at least 100 men, probably a well-educated man, a smart man, a man of God that the Roman people put in authority. And when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, their job was to make sure that he died on this cross. Okay?
Amen.
Their job was to make sure that he died on the cross. They were in charge of crucifying folks.
Uh-huh.
And they had done this probably 25,000-30,000 times. They never seen nothing like this. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, making sure he was going to die on this cross, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. How about that? How about that? That's the same thing these folks had said on this boat. But when the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey? You know what you can add in there? Truly, this is the Son of God. Truly, this is the Son of God. Let's close. Listen, folks. People say, well, Pastor, we're going through. Just getting on my nerves, man. Going through. You'll say, no, my dad getting on my nerves, man. The boss say, oh, Jeremy, drive me up the wall. And Cindy say, oh, y'all don't know what it's like living with a pastor. Let me tell you something. Stand on the promises of God.
Amen.
Stand on the promises of God. Don't go to your sister. Don't go to your cousin. When you got issues, you got a storm brewing. Go to God's word and stand on his word.
Amen.
Stand on his word. The word of God says in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Get to praying. When you're in a storm, get to praying. And I just use the men as an illustration. But we got storms all around us.
Amen.
We got financial storms. We got spiritual storms. We got emotional storms. We got all kinds of storms. This is a world full of storms. But when we stand on the word of God and we pray without ceasing, and then when we affirm our faith, how? With praise and worship. Now, praise and worship don't always going to have to happen in here. Most of y'all got MP3 players and CDs, and a lot of times me and my buddies be at the gym, and we get ready to hit that way hard. We put on something that really motivates us. And a lot of times in your storm, turn on something. You got to have something that you can turn on to that's going to lift you up. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about Lil Wayne or Miley Cyrus or none of that. You turn on something that's gonna inflame the faith that's in you. You gotta have a song. You gotta have a song.
Amen.
And you gotta have a praise. You keep praising him and you keep worshiping him and you pray without ceasing and you stand on his promises and you just keep showing up. You just keep showing up. If it's just me and you in here, we just keep showing up. The God say don't show up. You just keep showing up and you fight your way through a storm. Bible says, but he that endure unto the end, who that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. You know what? Matthew 24 and 13. God would not have to say that if he thought it was going to be easy. He would, that language would be in the Bible. You endure anything. Because most of these preachers say you ain't got to endure nothing. You just keep on enjoying yourself in life. No, you endure. And many of us in here right now are enduring some stuff. We're enduring some stuff. And you keep on enduring. You keep on praising God. You keep on showing up. You keep on praying without ceasing. And you stand on the Word of God. You stand on the Word of God. You base your decisions on the Word of God. You say, God said it, that settles it.
Amen.
Not on that, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it. That settles it.